Hey guys, Psalms 139 this morning, Psalms 139, and we're going to be talking about understanding my relationship with God. How is our relationship with God going? Now, when I speak these things, I'm taking the assumption that for most of you in this room, you have a relationship with God. But I never take that fully to assume that everyone in here is a child of God, that they are somewhere along the line have given their life to Christ. But the reality of it is that even for us who have given our lives to Christ, we've made the choice, we've trusted in Jesus, we've trusted in His cross and His sacrifice, we've been redeemed, we've been saved, we've been transformed, it's all about Him and His glory. That is a relationship. It's a relationship. I want you to hear me this morning, church, and that's this, is that God has not called us to an empty, hollow religion. God is calling us and making available to us a real and tangible relationship. And once we've trusted in Christ, that's not the end of the process. That's the beginning of the relationship. And so today we're going to be taking a look at what it really means to be in a relationship with Him. But if you don't have that relationship, if today God speaks to your heart and says, you know what, you need to establish, you need to begin, you need to build a relationship with me, and here's how you do that, then our prayer obviously is that today would be a day of salvation for you and that your life would be changed. But for those who have that relationship, we want to evaluate that relationship by asking some very serious questions. When we think about our relationship with God, it's just like any other relationship. It has highs and it has lows, doesn't it? You don't get saved here, and then you go to glory here, and it's just a straight line from one to the other. It's not like that. Just like your relationships in your life, there are peaks and there's valleys. There's times when you're extremely close, and there's times when you don't feel so close. There are things that challenge that relationship. There's things that build and encourage that relationship. And so our relationship with God, it's very similar to many of our other relationships. But when thinking about that, let's put this in perspective. How important to you is your relationship with God? Is it just as important or should be more important than your other relationships with those that you love and care the most about in your life? A good way to ask that question is this. The most valuable thing you have is time. The most valuable thing you have in your life is time. You woke up this morning and you made a decision, I'm going to go to New Zion Baptist Church today and I'm going to spend about an hour or 2 hours with God's people in God's house, and we're going to be worshiping God. We're going to be in God's presence. You made a choice and a decision. You spent your time today, and guess what? I pray we'd be good stewards of your time, but the reality of it is this, you'll never get that time back, right? I mean, when you spend it, it's gone. You never get it back. So the most valuable thing you have is time. When you think about that, how much time do you spend on the most important relationships in your life? The time that you spend on your relationship with your spouse, the time you spend on your relationship with your children, the time you spend on your relationship with your grandchildren or your nieces or your nephews or your friends or your coworkers or all those things, those relationships that are important to you, how much time do you spend nurturing and developing and maintaining those relationships? See, the reality of it is this, we are created as relationship-oriented beings. God made us that way. That's the reason why the most valuable thing that we have in a sense of life and doing life are those relationships. I've never seen anyone on their deathbed say, bring me my stuff. But everybody wants the people that they love around them if they can. Why? Because the greatest thing they have developed over time is those relationships. So comparing your time you spend on those relationships, how much time are you spending with God? How much time do you spend on your relationship with God? Think about it this way. Your thoughts about your relationships, your earthly relationships, all those relationships that I named, how many times are you thinking about them? How many times are they on your heart, on your mind? Well, how much is God on your heart and on your mind? When you think about serving, one of the greatest things we do in our earthly relationships is we serve one another. We do little things for our kids and for our grandkids and spouse and those people that we care about. We do things for them. Why? Because we love them, and those acts of service are an expression. It's a tangible expression of that love. Well, when you think about it and put it that way, how are you serving the Lord? How are you serving in His kingdom? Is service something important to you because it's an expression of your relationship? If I ask God to define your faith today, your walk, your relationship with Him, if I ask God, hey, can you tell me your impression of your relationship with this person. How do you think God would describe your relationship with him? Would you think that God would say, yeah, I'm going to tell you something, it's the highest priority for this person to have a real relationship with me. And I know that because we spend time together. They serve my kingdom and my purposes. They're allowing me to dwell in their heart. They're listening to me. They're spending time in my word, all those different things. How's your relationship with God? The most amazing thing to me, guys, is I strive to continue just like you to live out my faith and grow in my faith. The most amazing thing in the world to me is this, is that God, creator of heaven and earth, God desires a relationship with me. That he wants to do those things. He wants to spend time. He wants to hear my heart. He wants to share my burdens. God wants that relationship with me. And he wants that relationship with you. And he values that relationship so much that he's willing to send the greatest thing of all of heaven, his own son, to die in my place, in your place, to be able to make possible that relationship. Because here's the deal. Apart from Christ, we can't have that relationship. The Bible says that apart from here, we are in conflict with God. But through Christ, we can have peace. We can be reconciled with God because Christ dealt with our sins. So today I ask the question, how's your relationship with God? How is your relationship with God? Now here's the thing. For most of you in this room right now, you are absolutely positively sure about your salvation. If I was standing up here today and I was preaching your funeral, I would be positive about your salvation. And I could tell with your family and friends, hey, I want you to know something. They're in heaven. They're with the Lord because I've seen their faith. I've heard their testimony, all those wonderful things. So I'm not asking you, are you saved? I'm asking you, if you have a relationship with Christ, how is that relationship going? See, for most of us in this room, you'd say, well, we love the Lord. You do. But what I'm seeing today is this, guys. We love the Lord, but can I tell you something? We love him as much as we do everything else. We love the Lord just as much as we love our hobbies and our interests and our family members and all those things. We love the Lord, but let me ask you something. Do you love him more than anyone or anything else in this life? See, that's a reflection of where your relationship is with him. You just say, oh, we serve the Lord. But let me ask you something. Does your service to him, does it really reflect your heart for him? So many times we serve the Lord and we come to church and we do our church thing. You know, we teach a class or we serve here, we serve that or whatever. But can I tell you something? Most of the time we do that kind of half-heartedly, half-will, half-prepared. Just think about it this morning. When we come to this place, we came. Some of you in this room, you came here today with the primary purpose, not just to worship, that's a general purpose, but the primary purpose that you came here today was that you taught a Sunday school class somewhere. And here's the thing to think about that. Somewhere down the line, you made that commitment, and today you stepped up and said, God, today I'm going to teach the truth of your word to the people that you've entrusted to me. Do you know how serious that is? That's huge. But I vow very seriously that most of us prepared from a mindset of saying, God, I've got to have you. You've got to lead me. You've got to do this. I can't do this on my own. And so I'm asking you to do this through me. It's a serious thing when we talk about teaching word, God's word. When we come and worship, singing songs, offering prayers, giving our offering, all those things. Do we do those things with a heart that seeks his presence, or are we just doing them out of mechanics? We serve, but how do we serve him? We seek, but how do we seek him? Do we seek God with everything that we have, or is he just another thing on the palate? You see what I'm saying, guys? I never forget, years ago, I was down in Mexico, and I saw people coming to worship that night. And they were gathering around and all these different things, and just their commitment, their surrender, their devotion to God, their desire for his presence. I was just blown away, and I'll never forget what that missionary told me. He said, here's the difference between what you see here and what we often see in the States. This was 20 years ago. He said, what you see in the States often is people say, my faith, my relationship with God is a very important part of my life. And most of us in this room would say amen to that. My faith and my relationship with the Lord is a very important part of my life. He said, but see, down here, you'll never hear people say that. You know why? Because to them, their faith and their relationship with the Lord is not a part of their life. It is their life. And everything else falls under that. Too often, guys, that's the way we approach our relationship with God. I want you to see some things, understand some things, some reminders today from Psalms 139 about our relationship with God. And they're just kind of wake up things to things that we already know, But I want you to think about this. We serve a personal God who desires a real and personal relationship with each and every one of us. So the psalm begins by saying, "Search me and know me." Look, Psalms, the foundational truth for our relationship with God, verse 1 through 6. Read with me. "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down. You know when I rise up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all of my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain it." The first thing that you and I need to realize about our relationship with God and understanding this relationship with God is that, God, you know what I do and why I do it. When we are His child, let me tell you something, guys. There is nothing in our life that escapes His eyesight. He knows it all. And I love what the psalmist, what David is writing here. He says, "God, you know me. You know when I stand up. You know when I sit down, you know when I lie down to rest, you know where I go, you go before me, you come from behind me, you encompass me all around me. You know all about me. You're so concerned about every detail of my life. Every detail." Can you imagine? Can you imagine, guys, that the Creator of all heaven and earth, He understands and knows every detail of your life? I can remember when I was a young Christian and our children were very young, and our daughter, Lauren, she must have been about 4 years old or whatever, and she got a cat for her birthday, a kitten. Everybody says, "Aw." And I'll just go ahead and tell you, I'm not a cat person, okay? I'm not a cat person. I pray for those who are cat people, but I'm not a cat person. But I'll never forget, she had her birthday party that day, and we had given her a kitten. Oh, it was so cool. And then that night, some storms came in, and it was bad. But my condition for this kitten was one thing. It's an outside cat. I don't do inside cats. I don't. And so sure enough, man, she's going to bed that night. It is raining cats and dogs outside. It is, I mean, I had a Rottweiler and a Chow. And I just know they were thinking, "Look, this is a little Happy Meal running around here." But it is flooding outside. And so my precious baby girl on her birthday, I'm scared for my kitten. And so me being the spiritual father that I am, right? You know what I did? "Lauren, have you prayed and asked the Lord to take care of your kitten tonight?" And it was just like a light bulb went off for her, you know. Hey, that's what I can do. And man, just a calm and a peace came over her. And she told me good night. Said her prayers, and out she went. God's going to take care of that kitten. So me being the father that I am, you know, I'm walking out of there, I handled that pretty good. And then I stepped outside that door, and I thought, "Oh, my God, if something happens to that cat tonight." She had faith, but I was struggling in it. But can I tell you something? I believe this. God even is concerned about those little things like that in our life. I mean, how many times has the enemy whispered in my ear and your ear and said, "You know what, this ain't important to God. It's important to you, but this little thing, God's not worried about that." That is not the testimony of Scripture, guys. The psalmist tells us here, "You know all about me. You scrutinize my path. You know my ways." Hey, did you catch that? "You know my words. Even before they're formed on my tongue, you know it." Why? How would God know the words before they're ever formed in our tongue? Because our words that come out of our mouth come straight from our heart, and God knows our heart. He knows these things. He knows it all. He says, "Behold, you know it all. The God of all creation knows every step you take, and He knows why you do what you do." What an amazing truth, guys, but what a fearful truth as well. If I'm walking in a relationship with Him, He knows all. His eye sees all. So my relationship is so important that I need to realize, hey, you know what? There's nothing I'm doing. Nothing I'm participating in, all those different things. I can have a relationship with God, but sometimes I think this is the kind of, we want a God that's like one of these blow up, these jumpy houses. And that's true. This is what we want. We want a God that when we need Him, we go plug Him into the wall and He blows up and He's huge. And we can get everything we want out of Him, but when we're through, what do? You go pull the plug out of the wall and it just kind of deflates and we roll Him up. And we put them in a bag and put them in the closet. Say, "God, when I need you again, I'll let you know. That is not the relationship that God wants to have with us. That's not what it's about, guys. God knows. He knows all. And the amazing thing is, even in that knowledge, he still desires us. Let me tell you something, guys. There's some things in my mind, sometimes in my heart. God knows they're there, but I'm not real proud of them. But he knows those things. How's your relationship with God? Verse 7 through 12, the psalmist writes, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me. Your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely in the darkness will overcome me or overwhelm me, and the light around me will be like night. Even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are the same to you." The second thing we see here is, I can't hide from God. God, I can't hide from you. If God knows all, he sees all. Let me tell you why that's so important. Because many of you in this room right here, and I've been there and done it myself, man, we can hide stuff so good that nobody knows it. We can hide things in our lives. We can hide addictions. We can hide pains. We can hide hurts. We can hide activities. We can hide all sorts of stuff. But can I tell you something, guys? We can't hide it from God. You can't hide it from God. Man, when I was the youngest of three boys, and my brothers were always physically bigger than me, and they made sure I always remembered that. But let me tell you something. When it came to hide and seek, I was a champ. Could nobody play hide and seek better than me. They never could find me. I lived to hear I say, "I give up. I can't find you. Come out." Can I tell you something, guys? You can't play hide and seek with God. Some of you are doing that with your family. You got some stuff hidden in your life. Hidden here and hidden there, tucked away, shoved in places where nobody knows it. Your wife don't know about it. Your husband don't know about it. Your kids don't know about it. Your grandkids, nobody in your family knows. Your friends, nobody knows. Your Sunday school teacher, your deacon, your pastor, you don't know. And the reason why you hide those things is because your mindset is this. If they only knew about this, they wouldn't think the same way they do about me. If they knew this was going on in my life, if they knew this was something that I did, if they knew this is somewhere that I went, they wouldn't feel the same way about me. See, guys, the amazing thing is God knows those things anyway, and he still loves us. Man, you can't hide anything from God. You can't hide anything from him. The truth is, the revealed truth is, he knows who we are, and we can't hide anything from him. He knows it all. We may think we have things hidden, and you think you're the only one in the world that knows about it. Can I tell you something? God knows. We're not hiding from him. He sees all. He knows all. And when it comes to sin, let me tell you something, guys. Whatever those things are that you've got tucked away and hidden, they're becoming a barrier between you and him. Oh, it's not affecting your marriage or your family or your job or whatever. None of those things may be yet. I guarantee you this, though, if it's sin, the enemy will get it to a place where it will. I mean, how many times do we look on social media, Twitter and Facebook or whatever, and we see some high-profile Christian that has to come clean? Got to confess, I did things that were inappropriate. I had a relationship that was wrong. I've got an addiction to this or whatever like that. And when we see that, guys, this is what we do. We go, "Oh, not them." I wonder why we react that way. Because you know what? We're the same way. And see, for some reason we think we put that pastor or that celebrity, somebody, high on this pedestal, right? No, they're struggling just like we are. But I can promise you this. You may have it hidden from the world, and you may take it to your grave, but when you do, God will confirm to you, "I knew it all along." We need to understand that in our relationship with God. You don't have anything hidden from him. You don't have anything hidden from him. And he says, "I'm still here. Why don't you bring it out and let's deal with it. Let's get rid of it so you and I can be closer in our relationship." Verses 13 through 16. What an amazing, amazing text. "For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance. And in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. Can I tell you something, guys? God has a relationship with you. He made you. He made one of my favorite sayings, before your mama held you or your daddy loved you, saw what color your eyes were, God already knew all about you. It breaks my heart because we live in a world today where people turn around and tell God, I don't want to be the way you made me. I don't want to be that person. I don't want to be here and I don't want to be there. I don't want to look like this or look like that. I don't want to be a boy. I don't want to be a girl. God made us, guys. He made us. What an amazing blessing just to know that He gave us life. And He, with that life, He gave us purpose. Can I tell you something? Most people today are searching for the purpose of their life. I'm just trying to figure out why I'm here. I'm just trying to figure out what's the purpose of my life. We want to be fulfilling our purpose in life. Somehow, we all kind of get to a place, say, you know what? When it comes to an end, I want to be able to look back and say, you know what? I did what I was supposed to do while I was here. And so we think, we go to the world and say, can you tell me why I'm supposed to be here? Can you tell me what my purpose is while I'm here? And the world gives us all this big laundry list of stuff. Well, you're supposed to get money. You're supposed to get fame. You're supposed to get power. You're supposed to get prestige. You're supposed to get, and all those different things. And so we start chasing those rabbits. And even if we're, by God's grace, lucky enough to catch one, we're still not fulfilled by it. You know why? Because we're going to the wrong place to look for that purpose. You want to know why your life has purpose? Because God made you to fulfill His plan for your life. That's the reason why. And so until we go to Him and say, God, what's your plan and purpose for my life? You made me, you gave me life. How can I fulfill that plan and purpose? Until we approach that from His viewpoint and that relationship, we'll never find satisfaction and we'll never be complete. Oh, we get off that track. We get off that trail so many times. God has us on this path and we're moving in the right direction. Why? Because we're saved and we're in a relationship with Him. But then we start looking for other things. We start looking to the world. We start looking to man for our purpose and our plan. And next thing you know, we're off down some trail somewhere and we're not fulfilled. We're not content. Why? Because we're not fulfilling what God created us for. And somehow we have to get back to where God wanted us to be to begin with. Guys, the reality of it is this. God gave you life. God gave you life. Your mom and daddy may have contributed some DNA, but God gave you life. And so that life is very valuable to Him, very precious to Him. We have to discover not only that He gave us this life to be in a relationship with Him, but His plans and His purpose. And what's the amazing thing about that? Look at verse 17 and 18. How precious also of your thoughts to me, O God. How vast is the sum of them. I could not count them. They would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Man, the amazing thing is this. Not only does God have a plan for your life, but when you start to seek that plan, man, you just dig, you just keep finding it. It just keeps unfolding and unfolding and unfolding. Hey, let me tell you real quick, guys. I'm just an old oil field hand from Capaya County. 25 years ago, I was catching my hitch, making my 7 days. 30 years ago, I was running from the law in Crystal Springs. When I graduated from high school in 1981, New Zion was my favorite community. Not because I came out and loved on the community and served Christ here, because there was a bunch of empty roads out here that everybody that I graduated from high school with could go and drink beer and smoke dope together. And we never got caught. Can I get an amen? Y'all got quiet. You said, how in the world did you get from that to somehow, by the grace of God, get to gather up a bunch of young pastors, put them in a tan tube, and fly halfway around the world so we can go around there and tell some people about Jesus? How in the world would the Lord Jesus pick some old roughneck offshore hand like me? Never been physically, educationally trained, never all those different things. All the things that really you're supposed to have to be a pastor and do things the way he's. How can God use me in any way, shape, form, or fashion to take the gospel to India, to Haiti, to China, to the UK, all around the globe? How can that be? It's just got to be a God thing because it sure ain't a web thing. See, man, we have search teams right now that are looking for some staff positions, and this is what they're doing. They're taking those resumes. Well, let's look at this person. They've got a degree. They've got this and they've got that. Can I tell you something? If they had my resume in their hand, that'd be the first one they'd throw in the trash. You know why? Because there's nothing on it. There's nothing on there. The only thing that's on my resume that's impressive is this, is that he gave his life to Jesus and Jesus transformed him. That's it, guys. That's the reason why the greatest thing we can do as a church is to be praying for them. Be praying for them. But what I'm trying to say is God has a plan for your life too. When you sit back and say, well, God could never, don't say that. Do you realize how small your faith is when you say that? God could never use me to do that. God could never use me in his kingdom to go here or go there or do this or do that. Do you realize you're just putting God in this little bitty box? In our heart ought to be, God, what's your plan? I just want to fulfill your plan. I just want to be who you want me to be and do what you want me to do so that I can glorify you so that one day when the temporary is over and I stand in front of you for eternity, the first thing that I hear is, well done, a good and faithful servant. But guys, if we want to hear that, that means one, we got to be doing something and we got to do it well. And that begins with, God, what do you want me to do? You can't do his will until you know his will. And you'll never know his will until you seek his will. And none of that matters on any level whatsoever without a relationship with him. It's so powerful, man. He says, the son said, I can't even begin to grasp the glory of what you have for me. See, man, God loves us. And he wants to have that relationship with us. But that's not the end of it. Verse 19 through 22. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, men of bloodshed. For they speak against you wickedly, and your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with the innermost hatred. They have become my enemies. Can I tell you something, guys? Once you discover God's plan for your life, let me tell you something. There are some real enemies to that plan. There are some people who do not want you to fulfill God's plan and purpose for your life. And I know there's some real strong language there. God, if they hate you, then I want to hate them. That doesn't sound like what we're supposed to be doing. We're not supposed to be hating. But what he's saying in comparison, hey, I love you so much and I desire you so much that in comparison, if they're coming against you, I'm coming against them. Can I tell you something, guys? There are some relationships in our lives that are not leading us closer to Christ. There's some relationships in our lives that are drawing us away from Christ. There are some relationships in our lives that are pushing us more toward disobedience than they are obedience. And we have to start evaluating, God, what's your plan for my life? What do you want from my life? How can I fulfill that plan? And then we have to start looking around us and saying, This person, these relationships, are they helping me fulfill God's plan and purpose in my life? But here's the problem, guys. So many times we put those relationships above and beyond our relationship with God. Now, if you're diagnosed with cancer next week, you're not so concerned about those relationships. You want your relationship with God, right? You want it tight because, hey, I got cancer. I need some help here, God. But when you want what you want, and God says, that's not my plan for you, our response so many times, guys, is this, yeah, but God, it's about what I want. God, I know this isn't what you want, but it's what I want. And so what we're doing there, guys, is the same thing every one of us in this room have done some point in time and place in our lives. We look and see something that we think will make us happy and content, and we desire it, and God says, that's not for you. And we say, yeah, God, but I want it. And so I'm going to let go of my relationship with you so I can have this. And whatever level you see that on, we've all done that, and it's called sin, right? But here's what we don't realize. Here's what the enemy doesn't tell us when we make those choices. Hey, you're walking away from life. God is life. God is love. And He loves you through the life that He's given to you. And when you reject Him and walk away from Him, what you're doing is saying, I don't want life anymore. I'm choosing death. But the enemy doesn't do that, does he? He says, no, man, this is what life is really all about. And we buy into it hook, line, and sinker. The problem is this, guys, is that even when we reject God, He still loves us. But we can't have a relationship with Him until the sin is dealt with. And then when we deal with that through faith in Christ and that relationship is established and peace comes, we need a desire to continue to grow in that relationship. So we look at the last two verses of the text. The psalmist says this, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me, know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in everlasting life. See, somewhere down the line, we got to be like the sons. We got to come to a place and say, God, you're my God. And my relationship with you is more important than anything or anyone in this life. And I can love my family. I can love my spouse and children and grandchildren, all those different things. But I know that my relationship with them will never be what it's supposed to be if my relationship with you is not right and first. I can't be a husband to my wife if I'm not walking in my relationship with God the way I should be. I can't be a father to my children, grandfather to my grandchildren, unless if my relationship with God is not where it should be. So it's got to be first and foremost. In this verse, we see what an amazing prayer that we could pray if we're willing to pray it. God, search me. My question for us today, you got a relationship with God? Would you be willing to simply pray, God, I want you to search my heart. I want you to open up those closets in my heart that I've hidden things so far back, hurts and pains, lust and desire, all those things. God, I want you to open up those closets. Search my heart, God. Try me. Try me. You know what that simply means? It means take what's in my life. Take the whole context of my life and put the fire to it. Put it in that melting pot. Put it in that place, Lord, where that refiner's fire heats it up so that the dross, the Bible calls it dross. In other words, it's the impurities. Would we be willing to say, God, search my heart, take what you find, put it under the fire of your love and your Holy Spirit so that the impurities can come to the top and you can skim them off. Because you know what, God? I want my heart to be pure. I want my life to be pure. You know, they said in the Old Testament times, that when the one who the artisan was working with silver or gold, that's what they did. They put those metals in that pot and they got it so hot that the impurities, the dross, would come to the top and he would slowly and steadily skim those things off and skim them off. And they said the way that the artisan knew that the metal was pure is that when he looked into the pot and could see a reflection of himself, he knew it's clean now. It's clean now. So here's the deal. Are you and I willing to pray, God, I want you to search my heart. I want you to try my life so that you keep taking the impurities out till you get to the point that you see yourself in me. That's what it's about. Lord, see if there be any hurtful way in me. Is there anything in me that's become a hindrance in my relationship with you? And Lord, once you remove all those things, then lead me. Simply lead me. Take me by the hand. And lead me. Wherever you want to go, I'm going to follow. So here's the question, church. Number one, do you have that relationship with God the Father through Christ? Has your life been transformed and changed by trusting in Jesus? How is your relationship with God today? Are you just coasting? Or are you seeking Him? And a better question is really this. If you haven't established that relationship, maybe you've been around church all your life. Maybe you're just fed up with religion and all those things. I tell you, I understand that. It's easy to do. But I'm not talking about relationships today. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about relationships. What would be hindering you today from establishing a real relationship with Jesus? What would keep you today from surrendering your life to Him, giving your all to Him? What's holding you back? And would you be willing to cast that aside in order to have Him fully in your heart? Lord, today I thank you. I thank you that you love us, that you care about us, that you know us and you still love us. When we reject you, when we turn away. But God, you haven't established this relationship just so that one day we have this hope and promise of going to heaven. That is a wonderful promise and we praise you for it. But God, you saved us so that we can have a relationship with you right here and right now. A real, tangible relationship. God, it's so easy for us to fade away from that relationship and begin to just walk through the mechanics of religion. So burden our hearts today. Lord, there may be some in this room right now that years and years ago, they had a passion and a fire in their heart for you and for your kingdom. And they were serving, they were growing, they were seeking you. They were spending time in your word, spending time in prayer. They were sharing the gospel. They were working and serving for your glory and for your kingdom. But somewhere down the line, they just kind of let go of you and got hung up in mechanics. God, today, speak to that heart. Reassure us that you're still there. You're still waiting for us to return back to you. And Lord, for those who may not know you this morning, today they need to be saved. Right now, right where they are, right now while I'm speaking, they can pray. Just confessing that they're sinners, confessing their need for a Savior, and trusting in you, Lord Jesus, so repenting of that sin and giving their heart, giving their life to you. God, we'd love to help them on that next step of that journey that we call faith. So God, would you be glorified here today? Would you speak to our hearts? Would you pull us close to your side? And never let us go until we look and reflect Jesus to a world that needs to know him. God, I love you today because you first loved me. And I pray, Father, for every heart in this room, every man, woman, boy, and girl, that they would know your love as well. I ask it in your name. Amen. Would you